Welcome to this special presentation of Bait and Switch Podcast Sports, a wholly owned subsidiary of the Bait and Switch Podcast.
Any other use of this podcast or descriptions or accounts of this broadcast without the consent of the Bait and Switch Podcast is strictly prohibited.
Welcome back to the Bait and Switch Podcast. It's Chris Boyer, as always, with Jim Martin. Hello, Jim.
Hello, Chris.
This is the best.
The best.
Brewers preview podcast in America.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. On the planet.
It is.
Say on the planet.
Yeah. It is. I'm usually pretty humble about our podcast. You know, we're not knocking it dead with huge numbers. We've got a Milwaukee Brewer, Jerry Augustine. Hello, Jerry.
Hey, Augie.
Great to be with you. Great to be on.
What a better time to come and talk baseball.
Yeah, who not only played the game for the Brewers, but also did a lot of commentary with our other guest, Jeff Grayson, who was the Fox Sports guy pregame, postgame for a decade for the Brewers. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you, guys. Please sit down. Please. Yeah, yeah. I appreciate that.
And then I don't hesitate to say this. Jim Martin, my co-host, he's got a passion for this. He could have done Jeff's job as well, I believe.
Yep.
Jeff,
yeah.
Could he not be on the air?
Yeah, that conniving jerk. He tried to take it from me. That's right. What happened.
I said, hey, guys, he lives in Minneapolis. What are you doing with this guy?
Jim knows his stuff.
Jim knows his stuff. He's got a passion.
You know, I had to work 11 years with Jeff, and they were the most awesome, fun years that I have. I mean, some of the things we did, if they ever televised what we did off camera at any time, just whatever they want to do, it'd be a show, and it was hilarious because every Sunday we had like we all wore pink ties on Sunday, and it always started off at, hi, Augie, and welcome to Casey Kasem Top 40.
Right.
And we did the whole thing, and Mr. Ed, and all, we did everything. It was just, it was a special time. And our directors and producers loved us because I think we had more fun off camera than we did on camera.
And then that off camera camaraderie comes across on camera when you're doing the stuff, right?
Yes, definitely.
Yep, and it carries through on the Bait and Switch podcast.
That's right.
Yes, it does. We get to take advantage of that camaraderie. I love it.
All right.
With you guys.
Now, I'm the fourth guy in this podcast. I am the most casual of baseball fans, right?
Correct.
And I will say this, that largely because of the changing of MLB regarding time, regarding the pitch clock and things like that, I was intrigued enough to get back out and see a Brewer game for the first time in a number of years. I personally went to Jim and said, let's go to a couple games.
Yep.
And I went for the first time in a couple of years, largely because I was no longer afraid that I was going to be involved in some 3.5 hour game, right? I did not want to go there on some school night and be there until 10:30 or leave early, you know? And so I think this thing for the casual fan has been the best thing. And it doesn't make us afraid to go to the game anymore for these long games. And so I'm a big fan of this thing. You guys, it's now been one full year, or is it 2 years?
One full year.
I got to think this is a huge success.
It is. Guys? I think so. Augie, don't you? I think it is. You get a baseball
Absolutely.
Game. Like when Augie played, when we grew up, we were watching Augie, it was throw the pitch. The guy maybe stepped out for a second, got right back in the box, and let's go. And it was a game you could count on was between 2:15 and 2:35 every time, unless you had an extra inning situation. And the game was fluid. It had good pace. It kept the fans' attention. And I think while Commissioner Manfred certainly has his ups and downs with some people, I think they really hit it big on this one.
Yeah. The one downside, I'm just going to speak a little bit of a contrarian here. When we went to the game, we got out of our seats, went down, got a pretzel and a hot dog. And I'm not kidding when I say we missed two innings.
Because did you really?
Because it was so fast. Yeah. It was like boom, boom, boom. And then we went back to our seats and like, oh, we missed the sausage race and stuff. But anyway, that's the only downside, right?
May I have a tangent, a very quick tangent?
Sure.
Okay. Real quick. Owner of the Los Angeles Clippers basketball team, Steve Ballmer, co-founded Microsoft with Bill Gates, is just about to open a brand new basketball arena for the Clippers in Los Angeles. He's paying for it himself, $2 billion.
Right.
He He is going to have more bathrooms than any arena because he wants everybody focused on that game. Now, it's a different sport. It's fast-paced, but the total time of the game is pretty comparable to baseball, and he's going to have screens all around the arena because he wants people to get back as fast as possible. He's revolutionizing how they're going to do concessions. Same thing, he wants to get people back as close, as fast as possible to the game. I think baseball owners are going to adjust to that as well because of what you just described. Because if you go to the game, you shouldn't have to miss something, but that's something that never used to happen before. You used to go for concessions and you'd maybe miss a half an inning. Yeah. So sorry for the tangent, but I think it's going to change how people view games in person.
Yeah, I hope so. And they don't have hot dog guys coming around. The only thing that's coming around now is beer guys. You know, there's no soda, there's no hot dogs, there's no pretzel, anything. Yeah. They had like a cotton candy thing or something. Like, give me a hot dog. Go get some burgers. Throw some burgers in a box and drag them around. And hey, burgers, hot dog, you know, something.
Yeah. Yeah. Augie, you're semi-retired. Let's get the hot dog box out there and let's start walking around.
I think I'm starting something at American Family Field this year. I think I'm going to be a hot dog guy.
There we go. All right.
You know, I like Augie
dogs. Augie dogs.
Quickly.
There you go.
Yeah. Real quickly. The time... it kind of bothers me a little bit, but I do like the shortness of saying, hey, you've got 20 seconds or 18 seconds or whatever it is. I like that. I just don't like baseball coming back now because there's a little scuttlebutt going on between owners and players saying that they want to lower two more seconds than that. They were at a great pace last year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Keep the pace where it's at. It was really, really good. And when you start trying to change things and speed things up, it takes away from the part of the game. You still have to, they're saying there's going to be injuries. There's going to be different things going on in the game because of it. I agree. I don't like some things I don't like. I thought the bases being bigger helped the game a lot. It was a good thing to have. The shifts don't mind me. That's just part of the game. I didn't like the part where pitchers could only throw over three times and then I just dislike that because there's a part of the game that you set the hitter runners up and the great runners in the game of baseball, pitchers set them up. I used to do it. And I just dislike that part of it. But the rest of part of the game that they've done has been really good and it's been good for the game.
So, yeah, they shouldn't touch the clock. They should leave the clock. I totally agree.
Right where it's at. That's perfect.
So let me, now that my biggest bugaboo regarding MLB has been solved, move on to the next one. A salary cap of some sort. Every time I pay attention to baseball, the good players are going to the same teams. You know, they're going to New York teams. They're going to Los Angeles teams. NBA, NFL, you get the feeling that the Green Bays and the Sacramentos and that they can win. I don't know. I see, you know, once a player gets big, they go to a big market. Can anything be done? Let's talk to the guy first that played the game. Augie, what do you think? Can anything be done on the salary issue?
I think they try to do it. I think there's some limitations. They got the luxury tax in every sport and what you can do and how much players make is just going to be the way it is. I don't mind it. I think you put all the big boys on the big teams because it's not about the teams. It's about the players. It's about what you have in your organization, your culture, and how you go about it. You take the Brewers, for instance, as a team. When you looked at them a couple years ago and they started developing some pitching, you know, they're not the biggest market, but yet I'm going to tell you what, they go and compete with anybody. I think you look at the Dodgers, you look at what they've got and the payroll that they got. It's just ridiculous how they have it. But are the Dodgers automatically going to win it? No, you still have to play 162 games. And what happens in that 162 games, because it's a long season, injuries, health, whatever you want to talk about. I don't mind what they pay players because they're going to pay them anyway. And there's going to be some way teams get around it. It's a team like New York and LA. Luxury tax means nothing to those guys because their TV packages are so big. But I really like that. You know what? Sometimes it's getting to where baseball culture is, hey, I want to play for a team. Well, you know why? Because it's a great place to play. Yeah. And I think you're seeing a lot of that in the game of baseball where players saying, you know what? Like Don Sutton said, everybody should play in Milwaukee at least 1 year. It's a great place to play. And I think that about baseball and about sports is worth it.
I think you're right about players, about player movement, though. I do agree with you, Chris. When players who are free agents, I agree with both you guys, actually. But when players who are the free agents, like Corbin Burns will be in a year, the odds are he's going to go to probably one of six teams. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean those teams, like Augie said, are going to win it all. I mean, people are getting all antsy in Los Angeles. Dave Roberts, the manager, he says, my job could be on the line if I don't win with these guys. And the Dodgers, they're winning over 100 games. But like Augie said, there's no guarantee they will. I mean, Yankees, you know, you have baseball. There's a lot of variables. And I mean, the Arizona Diamondbacks were in the World Series last year. And you got a guy, Bruce Bochy, managing the Texas Rangers who leads them to a ring. You just never know how it's all going to mix together. But I do agree with you, Chris. When there are the big free agents, there's probably really six or seven bidders for them, but that ensures financial security for the rest of their lives, but it does not secure a pennant.
Right. Well, I'll say this. I think that money doesn't buy the World Series because, again, you're talking seven-game series. It's too small of a sample size. Anybody can win. But I think money buys the playoffs, or at least buys wins. And so, I mean, the Dodgers are there year after year. Are they going to win? No, but seven games, anything can happen. And so I do think that money does buy teams towards the top of the division or towards the top of the win column.
Yep.
Is it my turn?
Yep.
Oh, okay. So, you know, I agree. And I'll say this. I always use the Yankees as like, oh, it's just like the Yankees. They just buy their team. Yankees haven't been in the World Series for a long, long time, right? I mean, so I sort of revel in that. Actually, I kind of like that, but it's true. It illustrates Augie's point, which is just because you put all these superstar players on one team, you know, it doesn't mean they're doing anything. And a lot of times, not so much in baseball. You get this more in football, especially in basketball. You put three or four alpha guys on that team, and that doesn't work, right? Those guys butt heads, and I want to be the guy, and I want to be the guy, and I need the ball. And, you know, it doesn't happen as much in baseball, but sometimes you get these big names, and, you know, you get some problems knocking heads together, and sometimes it doesn't work because a lot of it is the chemistry that we were talking about with, you know, in our clubhouse and everything, and how that, when that comes together, it's always what you hear. When you, and of course, what are they going to say? But when they win the World Series, you know, this is the greatest bunch of guys. You know, we have a great time. When you win, you have a great time, of course. But anyway, so chemistry is a lot to do with it, too.
I'm waiting to hear
that.
I
agree with you of one point. Let me just bring up one point. Sure. As long as Major League Baseball stays away from what college is doing with the portals and the transfers and all that stuff that can happen, I really like the part of baseball is that, you know what? There's free agency and all the things you can get after 6 years. You have that opportunity to get this and you can go to arbitration after 2.5 years or 2 years, whatever it is, 2 full years. I like that part of it. I think it's worth it. And it makes organizations think about their players, what they want to do with them. You can tie them up longer like they did with Cheerio and they got him for 10 years and they paid him a lot of money. That's fine. But don't take that away from the game of baseball. I like that part where you've got to be with that organization for 6 years. You got arbitration there. Boy, that gives you an opportunity to say, unlike college now, where college, when I was coaching at UWM, I had those kids for 4 years. I had to develop a kid in 4 years. Now, I'm a mid-major college, but you know what? We beat the number one team in the nation. And that's awesome. That happened. Mm-hmm. We actually did that. And, you know,
people
couldn't believe it. We beat our first time in 50 years, a Division I school from the state of Wisconsin, went to the NCAA tournament. We beat Rice University, the number one team in the nation, first game out. And you know what? It's because why? Because, yeah, I could get the junior college transfers, but I had the kids for 4 years. Now if your kid comes in, you say, oh, I don't like you. You were dogging at that game. The kid's going to transfer no matter how he's a good player. So those portals, I disagree with them. I don't like them. But at the same time, I do like the baseball part of it in Major League Baseball, where you're a property of that team for 6 years.
Hey, Jeff, not talking about the council situation, what are the big storylines this year in MLB?
Well, I do think legitimately that is a big one. And you're going to see, because it's Chicago and they have so many writers, I think that will remain one. But to answer your question, because you said aside from that, I think the big one from a player perspective is Ohtani with the Dodgers. He's not going to pitch, but he's going to hit and he is going to get media coverage on a global basis, unlike anything we've ever seen before, at least in baseball. There are going to be more writers from Japan alone who are going to cover him. And there have been Japanese stars in our country before. You know, Ichiro is a great example, but this is going beyond. And the fact that they also have another a pitcher from Japan who also got a huge deal for over $300 million. So it's not just Otani, but it's the other pitcher. And forgive me, I can't remember his name. I think that's a huge storyline.
Let me stop you for just a second. Yeah. Why isn't Otani pitching? I don't know that.
It got hurt.
He got hurt. Yeah. Elbow.
Hurt his elbow. Right?
Surgery. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So he can't pitch. And they knew that $70 million a year. They knew that going in, and he's deferring $68 million a year each year of that 10-year contract, which is unbelievable too. He's going to get that money after he retires. But in the American League, I think a big story is Soto with the Yankees. He's one of the best young players in baseball, and he's going to be a free agent after this year. And you have this rare situation where the Yankees may lose a pending free agent. We'll see about that. I think that's a huge story. Yeah, I think that's a huge story in the American League. Is a lot of people think, oh, is this the year of the Yankees? Those are two stories that jump out at me, but there are many more.
Yeah. Augie, any other stories, any storylines that you're interested in?
In American League, I think the Orioles are a great story. Here's a team that 2 years ago lost 100 ball games and came out last year and just got some good young players, got some pitching in their organization. They developed some guys, and now when you look at the American League East, you said the Orioles used to be, oh, they'll finish fifth or sixth, whatever it is. You know, now Orioles are one of the teams that are favored. I love those type of stories when you have organizations that all of a sudden figure it out, like the Brewers have done, and get to that culture and get up there and challenge the big boys. And that's what it's all about, is little guy playing the big guy. David and Goliath, is it really that? No, because it's still a game of baseball. But I think when you see teams like the Orioles, I think you look in the National League now, you look in our division, you look at the NL Central. You know, everybody, Brewers would say, well, the Brewers aren't even figured. No, everybody's talking about who? The Cardinals, the Cubs, and the Cincinnati Reds. But I think Pittsburgh is going to be a good ball team. They're going to be fun to watch. But the Brewers are going to be right there with them. It's a great division. It's going to be a great race. And I think that's what's great about baseball.
You know, Jim knows my philosophy when it comes to all sports. If the home team doesn't win, I want a new team to win. I want a team that's been coming up the ranks and wins it finally. That's the storyline I like. I think the television ratings generally say that people like dynasties, or at least that's when they watch Michael Jordan and the Bulls, etc. Jim, are you more a fan of dynasties battling it out or new teams coming up? Last year was the Texas Rangers, right?
That's just Rangers. Yeah, yeah. I'm more of a fan of my team being in it. So if that's a dynasty, great. If that means they're coming up, great.
That being said,
I think I'm more of the opinion like you are. I want to see new faces. I want to see new teams. You know, I mean, I don't have anything against the section of the country called New England, but the New England Patriots, I don't like them at all just because they're there all the time. Right. And I feel like that's the way country feels about the Packers too, I'm sure. So I want to see new blood in there, but you don't want to see that if you're on top, right? Mm-hmm. You know, if you have that dynasty, you don't want to see anything new.
Yeah.
But I think it kind of goes along with, sort of the theme here of, these smaller market teams, you know, kind of coming up and having a shot against these bigger market teams. You know, I like to see. Yeah, I always root for the underdog. I think that's my answer. Yeah.
Jeff, what team is, again, not excluding the Brewers for this conversation, what team is like this year's Rangers, the team that that is not the Los Angeles, not the one of the big markets, that you think could win it all?
Well, I don't think anyone really expected the Rangers last year, but let's raise a glass to Bruce Bochy. I mean, what a great baseball man, Hoggy. I mean, to, you know,
he is awesome.
Just no ego, at least outwardly. I mean, that guy is the real deal. Someone like them, you know, Augie brought up the Orioles. People are picking them more this year, and then the addition of Corbin Burnes. So maybe not so much the Orioles because people are picking them. You know, they made the playoffs last year, but they still shocked everybody. I would go with either the Diamondbacks or the Reds. If you're looking for maybe a team that really might catch people by surprise, I might say you kind of got me perplexed. Maybe let's say the Cincinnati Reds, even though I know some people are picking them to win, there is a question, can they take that next step? Because it's one thing to do it and catch everybody off guard, but there are some people who think maybe this is the year these young guys step forward. I would maybe say Cincinnati.
Well, Augie, what about the division? You think Cincinnati?
Well, let me go back a spinoff of Jeff.
Sure.
And bring up a team, Seattle Mariners. Seattle Mariners, managed by a Wisconsin boy, Scott Servais. I think this is a team that's been in the last few years they've tried it the young player wise and hasn't got it. But now it seems like this is a team that's going to battle the Texas Rangers and Houston Astros. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a great battle. I'd watch the Seattle Mariners. They're a good young baseball team. I think our division, I think it's a toss up. I everybody says Pittsburgh, they'll be way back. They've got some good young players, and that's a good ball club, and they're starting to develop their pitching, and they got a great closer. Their bullpen is a step and a half better than it was last year. They got a couple starters. I think Cincinnati, everybody says it, they've got some really great young pitching, and you play in that ballpark, Great American Ballpark. I mean, it's a hitter's ballpark, and with great pitching, you can still stick with them. But, you know, everybody's saying the Cubs and the Cardinals, and I just think that – I don't think as much of the Cardinals as I do the Brewers and the Cubs and everybody else.
You know, Jim is going on a scouting trip to Cincinnati here this week.
That's true.
He's going to check out the Cincinnati area. Jim, who's going to win our division?
I think, let's see, who's going to win our division? I think the Cubs are going to win our division. That's what I'm going to say.
And you think Council's going to have a lot to do with that?
I do. Yeah. I think, I mean, you know, he's kind of he's just such a good manager. And they have a decent team. You know, and if you put a really solid manager like that together, then I think they're gonna do it.
And it'll break your heart.
You know, I was just about to say, it pains me to say that, but yeah, I think, I mean, there's a reason why people are picking the Cardinals and the Cubs, right? Cincinnati, I don't know a whole lot about him. I know De La Cruz that's the guy's name, right? Mm-hmm. He's crazy, crazy good. I didn't know about their young pitching that they have. The concern with, I don't know how young their pitching is. The concern that I have always with young pitching is the longevity. You know, they're not used to that 162 game season. A lot of times in August, September, they start to kind of sputter out a little bit. So I think the Pirates are going to be way back. No, I'm getting
so Jim's saying.
I don't know anything about the Pirates really.
Jim's saying the Cubs. Let's hear it from you two guys. If you got to pick a name from our division, who's going to be your team that's going to come out on top?
Augie, you go first.
Okay. Well, I think the Cubs are going to win the division. I just think they're going to be a solid team. And I think Craig has a unique way of putting people in the right position. If one thing that I respect about him more than anything, he's very thoughtful and he knows how to get to the players and making sure that everybody feels a part of it. And if you look at the Brewer players and every time you go in there, oh, I got seven outfielders, what's going to happen? He finds a way. And I think that's where Craig's strength is his ability to have a culture that everybody can go out and with no limitations and play the best you can be. And I think that's going to help the Cubs. Beyond the Cubs, I really like the Brewers. I really do. I think their bullpen is as good as anybody's in baseball when they get Devin Williams back. And I think if their starters can go and this offensive, I'm not going to say a juggernaut, but these guys that are going out, if they go and perform, I think they can be right there with them.
Go with the Cubs. I'll go with the Cubs because, you know, when David Ross took over the Cubs, they were kind of tearing the team apart because the Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, that team. So David Ross came in and the team started to rebuild. Team was going in the right direction and David Ross was doing a pretty good job with the Cubs. Now you bring in Craig Counsell, one of the top managers in baseball, like Augie has said, he's going to bring a whole new dynamic, and they've already got a lot of talent, and they've got some young guys they're going to start bringing along. As a fan, yes, that would be tough, but at the same time, Craig Counsell's a good person and loves Milwaukee, and you just tip your cap if that happens. But it'll be great theater no matter what. I like the Cubs to win that division, to win the Brewers division. I have the Brewers and Reds kind of in a toss-up. I have been reading that some people are saying sleeping on the Cardinals is a very dangerous thing to do in multiple years. People think that Arenado and Goldschmidt, people think that they're the kind of the team everyone is somehow forgetting. but you're asking for my opinion. I think the Brewers and Reds could fight it out for second. If the Brewers can weather the storm this first few months, like Augie was saying earlier, have those young guys who are going to get more chances to pitch, but, you know, to be put in situations so that when Williams comes back, if, you know, you're making them stronger, and there's some ifs that have to go the Brewers' way. And Council was always really good at weathering those things. But, you know, Pat Murphy, this is going to be an interesting thing because sometimes you have a young manager with a younger team. Now we have the experienced Pat Murphy who seems to have a great knack for keeping guys light and knowing how to balance being competitive and tough with also keeping life in perspective. So I like the Brewers and Reds fighting it out for second, but I'm going to pick the Cubs to win the division.
All right, Jim, National League, who you see in National League, and you might not be as knowledgeable about the American League. National League, American League, World Series winner. What do you see?
National League, I mean, it's always hard to pick against the Dodgers, and they just picked up, you know, $800 million worth of guys this year. So, and I can't believe Ohtani gave him a deal of all people. I mean, of all teams, like the Dodgers don't need a deal guy, you know, like, I'm going to go Dodgers and Braves. Maybe Braves will be up there. I think again, I do think the Yankees have a good team. Yeah, I don't know. Those three, the giant, you know, giant names.
Yeah, but Dodgers and Yankees. That was my lament at the start of the podcast. Jeff, who's your National League team? Who's your American League team? Who's your winner?
Oh, boy. I am curious with the Cubs. If they stay in first place, one thing that Craig wants, you know, David Stearns had the phrase, another bite at the apple. If the Cubs are in contention for one of the top spots in the National League, I would not be surprised if Jed Hoyer, who runs the Cubs, goes for a big move because the Cubs have the minor league system now to be able to withstand a few prospects. And that's what Craig was trying to go for, I think, is in a business situation. So I'm keeping my eye on the Cubs to go really far in the playoffs. It is hard to go against the Dodgers, but only to buck convention. I'm going to pick the Atlanta Braves, but I don't disagree with you, Jim. It's hard to go against the Dodgers. I'm going to go with the Atlanta Braves because I think they're a sound baseball team. I think they've got some really good talent. If Acuña stays healthy, people don't talk as much about the Braves because of what's going on in Chicago and Los Angeles, but maybe just to be a contrarian, I'll pick the Braves, but I am not going to sleep on the Cubs and their ability to make a move for the stretch drive if they're in contention.
The American League.
For the American League, for the American League, I'm not picking Houston. I'm kind of sorry, Astro fans. I'm kind of tired of them. I think Soto is going to. I think he's going to really bring a new dynamic to the Yankees, and I think the Orioles and the Yankees are going to be like a 1970s retro fight for the East. Nice. I'm going to pick the Yankees. I'm going to go Braves Yankees.
All right, Augie, what about your National League pick, American League pick, and overall pick?
I feel a lot like Jeff does. I think if the Cubs get that far, I think they'll go and make a trade and get a couple players if they do need them at that part. I think Craig has a unique way of doing that. For some reason, the Philadelphia Phillies, they've got a great pitching staff. They increased it. They got a little bit better in the bullpen. They're going to be healthy all year long. And I just think if everybody stays healthy, the Phillies, the Braves, the Dodgers, the Cubs, that's a battle. And it's going to be really interesting. So, you know what? I can go and pick in a hat. I'll go with the Dodgers because I think the Dodgers should do it. And the American League, that's a tough one. And there is. I do like Houston. I like Houston because number one, they got Josh Hader, and that guy is as good as you can get. And when you get late in the ball game, you get late in the year, that's what you need. And they're solid in the bullpen. They've got some really good young players. But I do like the Baltimore Orioles. I think the Orioles are at a state right now where they're just relaxed. They're young, they're talented. And they got, when you got Corbin Burns leading that staff, I think that's going to mean a lot.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I want to kind of end by going back to the start, which is, me, the most casual of fans here, went to a couple games this year, had a great time. One thing I hate when people talk about professional sports and Major League Baseball specifically, They talk, oh, it's so much money to go there. This is MLB is the most is the best bang for your buck out there.
Yeah.
You go to the Packers, you go to the Bucks, you're spending a lot of money. Yeah. You go to the Brewers, this whole idea that they say, oh, you got to buy the pennant, you got to buy five hot dogs and four beers and get deluxe parking. You can park half a mile away for free. You can eat before you go and go to a game and spend $4. Baseball is best value in sports.
I would agree. 100, you know, having 81 home games, you know, 81 shows, if you will, compared to, I mean, I'm a Packers season ticket holder. I can tell you exactly how much those tickets are. The NFL makes billions and billions of dollars. The Brewers, like a lot of teams, from the start of when Augie and I started working together with doing the Brewers, I would often interview Rick Schlesinger and we would interview Mark Adonazio. The Brewers do a great job of being inventive to get people to the ballpark. And sometimes you have to do that even when the team's not doing well. Thankfully for us as Brewers fans, they've been in contention for most of the last decade plus. But you're absolutely right. The Brewers do a lot of great things. There are ways to get great deals. And if you watch the games, it's often our former colleague, Bill Schroeder, who does those reads about the different promotions, whether it's through what county you live in or, you know, you get two hot dogs, two sodas for this amount of money. And you don't have to park right there. Like you said, you can go park up off Story Parkway and walk down. You know, there's if you want to see pro sports, Major League Baseball, you can make it work and make it affordable. You don't have to buy everything under the sun.
Yeah. Yep. I'll tell you, and I don't know if I should be proud of this or not, because I was there to support my team, of course. We were in line buying tickets. First, like Chris said, we parked far away, right? Well, I mean, we parked walking distance, but we walked there. No paying for parking. We were in line, standing at tickets. A Metro Market right now, a grocery store, has a thing where if you buy so many groceries, you get promotions, whatever, and you get free seats to the Brewer game. A guy walked up with a ticket and said, hey, how many? We're like, well, we got five people. It's like, there's five tickets on this receipt. So we went up to the window. We got our five free tickets. We walked into the game. I should also add, it's the game they won the pennant.
Yep, Jim and I were there
that night. Yep. We paid zero. I didn't buy anything because I ate before I get. I literally paid nothing to go and see great baseball, and we lost.
Yeah,
but we got to see the end of the Braves game on this and the thing. We were there with the celebration.
Oh, it was
fantastic.
It was crazy.
Oh, that's great. Time.
So all you clowns who are saying it's so expensive to go to the Brewery game, you can make it work.
Jerry, if you were in charge of promotions, is there anything different you do to get more people in the stadium? Not that we don't get enough people, but is there anything else that you think, you know, MLB or the Brewers could do this to get more people out there?
I think the biggest thing when you talk about sports in general, the one thing that baseball has over other sports, it's family friendly. And I think the family friendly part of baseball makes it fun to come to the ballpark. You can have whatever ages, whatever your size, your family is, you can always find a way to come to ballpark and not pay an oodles amount of dollars, and you can really enjoy it. You'll have games where you can join the Pepsi fan club or whatever it might be, and your kids can come and they get a free hot dog and a free soda, and you know, it makes it affordable. But I think the biggest thing about that I really like about the game of baseball, it is family friendly. A lot more than a lot of other sports.
Yeah, you're right.
And there are playgrounds at the ballpark. Kids can.
Yep, I remember
when Augie would see me with my little kids.
Yeah.
They would play. They would play on the playground in between innings, or they do face painting. Then they go and then we walk to our seats. There's Barrel Man. Oh, there's Bernie. Right. I mean, it's they manage to make that nice combination. And of course, as your kids get older, you might watch the game more than when they're toddlers, but. They do it. There are. It's family friendly. That can't be underestimated.
Yep. Well, I want to thank our panel here. I'm going to start with my co-host, Jim. Again, not any less knowledgeable than our other guests. Thank you, Jim,
for being on my show. My pleasure. Yep.
And then our high school buddy, my high school classmate here, Jeff Grayson. Thanks for coming on our show.
Absolutely. Love being on with my fellow Red Raiders. Thanks for having me.
And then lastly, and certainly not leastly, when people ask me and Jim, who's been on your podcast, I think the first name I throw out there is Jerry Augustine.
It ain't me, I'll tell you that. It ain't me, Augie.
Well, you know what? We could start a show and just have Jeff go through all his personalities as far as who we can all do. And that would be a great start because we did it every Sunday morning or before every game. But you know, it's always fun to talk baseball and doing a podcast and being able to just go and talk and just enjoy it and be able to verbalize and say, hey, this is what we love and this is what we like, and to have people who love the game of baseball and love sports to be able to go out and say how you feel about it, I think is really important. And I think that's what this podcast has done.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll say this lastly, it's an honor for us, me and Jim, to bring back the old Fox Sports crew once a year to do what they did best for a decade.
Absolutely.
We'll be around for a long time.
That's right. We love doing it, and we're flattered that you ask us. And Augie and I just have a great time. And then to be on with you guys is even greater. One thing I was going to leave with from my end is this is going to be fun for Milwaukee to get to know Pat Murphy even more than when he was the bench coach. We didn't talk about him that much. He's a great personality, and I think this could be a wonderful fit with Milwaukee. It's a pretty unique story of him coming in to take it over. But no, I love being out with you guys.
All right, well, let's wrap it up before Jeff goes on another tangent, because it could go another hour.
No, I got to talk about the Clippers.
Yeah, join us next week for Los Angeles Clipper talk here. So, all right, thanks everybody.
Thanks, guys. Great being with you guys.
See you guys.
See ya.
Join us next time on the Bait and Switch podcast when we talk with comedian Demetrius L. Jackson.
You've made it to the end of another Bait and Switch podcast. Spread the word.